You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? All right, hold on. Here we go.
What's going on? This is the My Aggie Nation podcast. I'm Travis Brown with MyAggieNation.com. Over there is the man, the myth, the legend, President Zachary Taylor. Also, coach of the, who are you coaching now? The Bengals? The Bengals.
The Bengals. Coaching, well, I was offered the Bengals job, but I make more money in radio.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I decided not to take it.
Yeah, that's right. But most importantly is the guy that we have on the phone all the way over in Arizona right now. That is the former 12th man, Cullen Gillespie. Cullen, what's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Just finished up my physical therapy session and getting ready to go start workout number 3 of the day.
Yeah, fill us in. I know you told us you're out in Arizona. You're after you declared officially for the draft following the bowl game. You're out there working out. What do you got going out there? Who you working with, and kind of what are your plans for the next little bit?
I'm working out at Exos Scottsdale, and really it's a combine training program. So I'm working out with a lot of guys from across the country, getting ready for the combine. It's pretty rigorous in terms of diet and like what we do. Like, all my meals are planned for me. I'm working out 4 or 5 times a day. I've got position work, film work. If you watch film on like how we run, and it's a pretty cool process. It's not something a year ago I thought I'd be doing, but here I am. We're going for it.
So is that a more rigorous workout regimen than you had at Texas A&M?
Oh, for sure. It's, you know, it's different. It's more fine-tuning yourself.
Okay.
Versus where when you're a college athlete, you got an hour and a half, 2 hours of work, and it's just grinding. Like, stuff that hurts, can make you throw up. This is all like the running. We're not out there running sprints. Yes, we run sprints, but it's all to work on our form. The lifting isn't, we're going to do 900 different things. It's all like focused on getting strength for bench, for being able to have a big 225 bench at the combine and things like that. And it's also easier to do it here because you don't have class, you don't have school, you don't have all these other distractions. I'm literally here. My job is to work out, eat, and sleep, basically, is what I'm doing right now. There's no school. There's no other distractions.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Well, and then as I've seen on social media, constantly find reminders of the fact that you're not living in Texas anymore right now. What is some of those realizations that you found and that you might like in your new little temporary home?
It's just, the weather's great. It's 70 degrees here and zero humidity every day, and there's sun shining. So that's not bad. I've heard in the near future, it'll be 120 and I'll probably hate the weather here, but, that's cool. It's weird going into every restaurant and seeing a gluten-free vegan menu. It's not really Texas. everything here is just kind of for lack of a better word. It's kind of bougie, kind of upscale going. Trevor Wood and I went to the movies the other night. And we walked into this movie, and it was like a nightclub. Like, you walk in, like, there's a full bar, and I literally thought I was in like Las Vegas or something. And you walk in, and the movie theater, it's, you know, $30 a ticket, and it's serve you dinner. It's not College Station anymore.
It's not the Star Cinema Grill.
No, it is not the Star Cinema Grill, which is a great place. I love that place.
Yeah, it's pretty bougie itself. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a great place, but on Tuesday nights you can get a ticket there for $5 and still have a nice meal. It's not like that here. Me and Trevor had a mandate.
So you talked about working out with Trevor. Have you been able to talk to anybody else or working out with anybody else that's affiliated with A&M while you're there?
Tyrell Dawson's my roommate.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, so we actually work out in different sessions. I'm working out with the defensive ends and defensive tackles just because the way that numbers worked out. And he is working out with the linebackers and DBs. So I see him throughout the day in passing, but we don't work out together. But whenever we get home every night, we live in the same apartment. So that's been a cool deal. And then Trevor's out here working out as well, but he's working out at a different combine. He's doing a different combine training program with a place called Elite Sports, I believe. And then Christian's still living out here, so I've hung out with Christian a little bit and Trevor a little bit. So it's been I'm away from home as far as I've ever been away from home, but I'm also kind of got some friends and friends' families kind of as a support system.
Definitely, definitely. So you mentioned combine training, everything like that. I know I believe that the kind of process is you players apply for to get into the combine. Is that correct? Kind of what is the steps that you're taking to hope to be able to show your stuff out on that kind of stage?
Oh, no, it's the combine is an invite process.
Okay.
I think my agent might try and work possibly to I think your agent can have a little bit of effect on getting you into the combine, but at the end of the day, it's whether those guys want to invite you or not. I haven't gotten an invite, and I'm not necessarily expecting an invite, so I just call it combine training. That's what they call it. Everything we work for is, okay, this is how it's going to be an indie, this is how it's going to be an indie, because most of the guys that I'm working out with are going to the combine. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's more of a pro day training, kind of getting ready for a mini combine per se.
And at this point, have you or your agent had any kind of conversations with teams, or do you know any projections, or kind of what are you working with as far as what the future might hold?
Not necessarily. From what I've heard, we're kind of in the dark on that. If I run well, there's a chance I could sneak into the sixth or seventh round, but more than likely, most of the feedback that I've gotten from people I've talked to have been a PFA, a preferred free agent. So the goal is to have a contract signed within, you know, an hour of the draft being over. It's going to be quick. He'll be working with everyone. Kind of, I'll have a list of teams out in front of me who've talked to me, but we're not necessarily in that process yet. But the plan is to have a contract signed within an hour of, like, the draft being over.
I guess that doesn't really scare you, though, because you're a guy that walked on at Texas A&M, and look what you made out of that.
Yeah, I've always been the underdog. It's not anything new to me. I was kind of a late guy to get on the varsity team in high school. I was a late guy to play at A&M, walk on. It's not nothing new to me. You know, same process. It's got to put the work in, and good things will happen. You know, hard work is rewarded.
Now, some of us, we got to observe you a little bit out there. Of course, we got to observe you on the football field, but we got to observe you out there a little bit at the Topgolf thing at the bowl game, and kind of saw that even though it was kind of joking around with your buddies, that competitiveness, is that what you consider, you know, besides maybe your speed and your some of your physical stuff, is your best quality to demonstrate? Is it seems like just about anything you do is a competition.
100%. That's you know, it's. I love football. I love playing sports, but when it comes down to it, for me, it's I'm a pretty competitive person, so it's about beating the person in front of me. That's why I like special teams so much, because, you know, there's not, like, a lot of it's one-on-one battles, and so it is just straight competition. It makes you work that much harder to say, okay, you got me on punt, I got you, I'm about to beat you, or you're about to beat me, and that's what kind of I thrive off of, and it's kind of it's addicting. You know, once you start beating people and you know you can beat people and you can enforce your will on people, that's kind of a thing that I grew to enjoy so much about playing special teams, is if it's one-on-one, it's me versus you, and one of us is going to win. I'd be damned if I was going to let someone else beat me. So that was kind of my kind of competition. It's my role. It's what fuels me.
So Colin, when they ask you what position you're going to play, what position you're wanting to play, obviously, you were a fullback this year, but, I mean, you're kind of a man of many talents on that front. So, I mean, you just tell teams, it seems like that would be some of the draws, that you're able to do a lot of different things.
Correct. I'll probably go in when I talk to these teams and say I'm a fullback, because that's why I switched to fullback, to kind of build stock, because I know what I've been told, I have the special teams talent to play at the NFL level, but I needed to build stock in another position. Special teams will get me there, but I need stock in another position to kind of hold me there. So I'm probably going to go in as a fullback, just because most fullbacks can't run like I can. And granted, I need to work on my blocking, but in terms of the athletic ability, I think the average fullback in the NFL runs like a 4.9. and is like 5'11" or 6 foot, 240, and I've already got size, and I'm shooting to run a mid 4.5 is my 40 ton goal. So it'll make me look like a very more athletic fullback. And basically, I would say, look, I'm a special teams guy. I can add value to you at fullback and at linebacker. You know, if you want to rep me at fullback, then you need a scout team guy who can go and play linebacker. I did that for 4 years as well. So really, it's more of a kind of an athlete type deal. I'm going to kind of market myself as an athlete, and I can kind of do what you need me to do, I guess.
Let's go back. I know you talked a little bit about it after the game, but as you've, you know, separated yourself from the moment and seen some replays and talked to some people, what does that touchdown that you scored at the end of the game mean? And is there anything that you got out of it, or any funny memories or anything that you saw once you were a little bit, couple days removed from it?
Well, funny memories. I mean, it was my last play of college football, so that was a way to go out. I remember I had just scored, and the whole team was in the end zone and kind of dogpiling on me. And I walk over, and they start yelling, "Come on, we got kickoff! We got kickoff!" I told the it might have been one of the, I forget who it was. It might have been one of the strength coaches. I just looked at him and said, I can't go. Like, I'm gassed. Like, I just ran the ball like 3 times in a row. My whole team was on me. I'm yelling, jumping around. I go, no, y'all got to find someone else. So that was a cool deal, having it be my last game of my last play of my career. That was a real cool experience. And then on top of that, we did get the 15-yard penalty as promised. wasn't necessarily my fault. I didn't really do anything crazy, but I think the team kind of did that for me. I think a lot of those guys were happy, but it wasn't necessarily a touchdown for me. It was a touchdown for all the 12 men that have come before me, and kind of one for the team, and one to show people that, you know, you don't have to be the 5-star, 3-star, 4-star. You know, you can come out and you put the hard work in, and anything is possible.
Did you think that was going to happen eventually this year, or was there a time where you were like, man, I don't know if I'm going to get that touchdown?
Shoot. At the beginning of the year, I was thinking I was going to score 3 or 4. And then as week 6, 7, 8 started drawing on, I figured, you know, it's not going to happen. So, and then after senior night, when it didn't happen, I was like, all right, you know what? Doesn't matter. I've had a great career. I've had a great, I've done more than enough. I've experienced more than what most people can say that they've ever done in their life. So, you know what? That was good enough for me. It's not a me sport. It's a team sport. And I kind of accepted my fate. I just kind of got my hopes up because in fall camp and in practice, we always have like the coolest fullback plays scripted. And then just when it comes down to game time, you know, that's not on, those are different situational type plays. And we just kind of never got in those situations, but you know, super thankful that Coach Fisher looked at me and said, I'm trying to let you score. So when he said that, I knew I had to, I'd always regret it if I didn't. So that was a real, real cool moment.
Yeah, definitely. I think we'd already know the answer to this part of the question if I just asked the easy, simple question of what's your favorite moment on the field as an Aggie. I think we just got done talking about that, if I'm not mistaken. With watching you on social media and our interactions with you, and you kind of seem to enjoy being the life of the party wherever you are. I want to know, at least from what you can share with us here on this, you know, family-friendly podcast, What is the funniest moment that you had on or off the field at A&M? What sticks out to you, the thing that just makes you laugh the hardest?
Oh, man. that's a loaded question. let's see. I don't know. I experienced so much in my 5 years at A&M that there's not necessarily one moment I could put my finger on. I think when I look back, some of the funniest times, just like when me and Ataro were freshmen, just like not knowing what we were doing, and him and Josh Walker, you know, you couldn't be around those guys without laughing. I don't know, really. I think that most of the guys on the team would agree that their funniest moments is making fun of me for having the worst built body on the team, or from Jay Arnold's podcast, the Dad Bod of the Year Award. I get a lot of trash about that, but I mean, I can remember you know, being on the field and having players saying, "What are you doing on the field right now? Like you have a beer belly. Like, what? How are you playing football right now?" So those are probably some of my favorite moments, just like getting out there and like you're in a competitive environment and you got people telling me I have a beer belly. And granted, I might have led them to believe that by the way that I talk on the field. But it's just stuff like that where guys are like, "What? You're the guy who they say is fast. Like, you look horrible. Like, you're the worst built person I've ever seen." So stuff like that really brings, in terms of family friendly, kind of brings a chuckle to my face, to myself.
Colin, what kind of hands is the Texas A&M football program in with Jimbo Fisher?
Oh, it's gonna be fun. The least I can say is it's gonna be fun to watch over the next 9 years. You know, he's a great coach. He's a hard coach. He knows when to kick you in the butt, and he knows when to love on you a little bit. But I am personally excited to hopefully not be at every game next year. hopefully I'll be playing. I won't be able to do that. But if that isn't the case, then I will be at every game. And I'm excited to watch this team and the way Coach Fisher coaches. It's going to be – the future is very bright for Aggie football.
Colin, man, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes. And I know we'll be keeping close tabs on everything that you have going on here in the future. And we wish you the best of luck.
Awesome. Thank you all so much.
That's Colin Glaspia joining us here today. We'll be back with a little bit more of My Aggie Nation podcast here in just a second.
My Aggie Nation podcast continues to roll on this Wednesday. Big thanks to former 12th man of the Texas A&M football team, Colin Glaspia, for joining us live. Well, not really live. It's a podcast. It's not live. But joining
it's live
us,
to us.
It is live to us, but joining us from Arizona. Big thanks to Colin. He's got some great hair. That's really the important part.
Hey,
the skills are the outside.
Real quick. Something has been called to my attention. Say your name, your full name.
My full name?
Yeah.
Like my first name?
No,
like
mostly your last name.
Zach Taylor. Ooh, are you going to say that I got the job with the Bengals?
No.
Oh.
Someone was saying that you say your name Taylor when you're on the air. And no. I just wanted to know this.
No, but apparently lots of people make fun of the way that I finish my name.
Okay.
Just well, because so I say Zach Taylor, or I'm Zach Taylor.
Yeah.
I say it like that sometimes.
Little accent there on the last syllable.
But that's been brought to my attention here recently.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, on more exciting things, there's a men's basketball season that happens to be going on. Also a women's basketball season. Something we haven't really gotten to touch too heavily on here on the My Aggie Nation podcast. And, it's been a little bit rough going for the Aggie, for both of the teams as of late, for the most part,
it's looking up.
And maybe this is the point to talk about. This is something Billy Kennedy brought up yesterday in his media availability. So I believe old Mike Lucas from KAGS asked, what is, he's talked a lot about, wanting these teams to be able to have that finishing touch, to be able to finish games. And Mike kind of asked, well, what's next? How do you make that ability to finish games, like they did against Alabama? How do you make that last and happen again and again? And Kennedy's response was, well, you get yourself in a position where you don't need a running bank shot three-pointer to win the game. And that's a very good point. I think that's something that is the key to the men's team, because it seems like every game they've been in SEC play so far has come down to the absolute wire. But I don't know.
Kentucky
if,
really didn't.
No, I mean, well, yeah.
They were able to create some separation. But yeah, as far as the other games,
right.
Arkansas, obviously.
But I just don't know if they have that in them. I think just about every game is going to come down to the wire like that.
They just don't, they're not going to have the star power. I mean, they've got guys who can have big nights from time to time. I think Savion Flagg's shown that he can be a good player. TJ Starks at times has shown he can be one. Josh Nebo scoring 21 points off the bench. You know, that's a guy who was out for all of last year. He's still trying to get his feet back in and shake off the rust. But, yeah, I don't think that they've got that one player who can really dominate, especially down the stretch. And as you talked about in closing games, I think Admon Gilder was going to be that guy this year. Unfortunately, Admon not going to be able to play because of his health issues, more important pressing things than just playing basketball. But, man, I'm telling you, it's strange in that I think this team is more talented than people give it credit for. I just don't think they've got that kind of, I wouldn't necessarily say mentality, but they don't have that closer that's on the team.
They've got to find some consistency, because I think the thing that's gets buried behind the fact of Starks running 3-point bank shot to win it is the fact that he finished the game. Before that, he was 3 of 16.
Yeah.
He's
been
night.
Very up and down pretty much his entire career.
Right.
And you've seen glimpses of what can be.
But. And finishing 4 of 17, 1 of 6 from 3-point range, and you know which of that one make he had. He and Savion Flagg have got to be the two guys. And Savion Flagg isn't necessarily a huge offensive force. He's a little bit, I'm not necessarily drawing this comparison because they're very different, but he's a little bit in that Robin Williams mode. He's a good two-way player. He plays good defense. He's not going to block a whole lot of shots, but he plays good defense. But anything outside the paint, you know, he's not necessarily the best and the most consistent offensive threat.
I just want to go back. You said Robin Williams, like the...
Robert.
Like R.I.P. Robin Williams.
Robert.
I'm just expecting him to be playing basketball out there. Yes, Robert. The Robert Williams, the basketball player, not Robert Williams. Like, oh, hello. But yeah, it's one of those deals where you're looking for star power, and this team obviously doesn't have it. I don't know if they have the depth either to make up for that with just guys who, you know, lunch pail kind of guys. And you're going to come in and just bring the lunch pail, and they're ready to do work, give 110%. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I don't think they have enough of those guys.
Well, but is there like that? Is there a lunch? I mean, I think there's only really room for a lunch pail role in basketball for like one guy on the court.
For the sixth man.
Yeah, and I think actually you might kind of have that in Josh Nebo. Josh Nebo has come to work, has improved a lot of the season, and it really showed against Alabama. He went 10 for 12 in that contest for how many points?
21.
Yeah, 21 points. I mean, that's a pretty lunch pail performance right there.
No.
And something that they've needed in the post.
He has. He's been big for them. And as you mentioned, there's a lot of big guys that left, obviously Robert Williams, Tyler Davis, and they've needed that strength down low. And I think Nebo has been able to do that at times. But that being said, you know, they're facing a very different animal tonight in Auburn. I'll be interested to see how they react, how they take on the Tigers, because it's going to be a little bit more of a high-flying offense and defense, by the way, too. It's going to be putting a lot of pressure trying to generate turnovers. That's a little bit different than it was against Bama. How will A&M be able to adjust to that? Can the Aggies somehow get something going on offense that way? It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, definitely. I think with his performances, Nebo should work his way into the starting lineup.
Whose spot is he going to take?
I think I can't pronounce his name. Christian Mekawulu.
Mekawulu.
I think he's surpassed him in performance. And I know too, the other thing to consider is Kennedy has frequently said the starting lineup doesn't really matter as much as who's in the game the last 5 minutes of the game, the last 3 minutes of the game. And I think he's deserved a spot in there, too.
Yeah, and as we said, he's still trying to work his basketball legs underneath him. I mean, he was still practicing, but he wasn't playing in meaningful games last year. I think that's, there is something to be said, because you're going to get more tired, I think, in actual games just because of the adrenaline that's going early on, and then you kind of have that not necessarily let down, but it's going to be more draining to you than, say, if you're in practice shooting it around. But, yeah, I think he's bought himself with that performance against Bama. I think he's bought himself some more playing time. And be interesting to see if he does crack the starting five, whether that be tonight or going down the stretch, and how big of an impact that might make.
Definitely. Well, women's side isn't necessarily doing anything that much better. They did have a win over Vanderbilt on the road last week. That righted things into the proper direction a little bit more.
It was a bad start to SEC play.
But I mean they're struggling a little bit.
Yeah, they are. I mean, when you look at injuries as well, you know, with Wilson going down. Wilson, correct?
Yes.
Wilson going down for the rest of the season. You know, she was your second leading scorer. And Kennedy Carter is the straw that stirs the team's drink. You know, if she's having a bad night, I think offensively it's going to be hard to make up for that. Sierra Johnson had a pretty good night the other night against Vanderbilt. I think she actually led the team, had 18 points. But Kennedy Carter, it kind of starts and ends with her and how she goes, the Aggies will go this season. And also, too, she's trying to avoid that sophomore slump. I mean, she had an incredible, unreal freshman year. Is she going to be able to follow that up with an even better sophomore campaign?
And she's had a little bit of adversity this year, whether it be, you know, missing a meeting and getting suspended for a game or a little bit of the flu bug that kind of bit her twice, really, through the season and kind of getting her legs back under her from that. And that's, I mean, Robert Cessna and I have talked about it all season. This team is one sprained ankle or one flu bug away from just absolutely tanking the season. And that's if it hits Kennedy Carter, because it's really all they have in the way of
offensive firepower. Yeah, Carter was 3 of 14 from the field against Bama last Sunday, 11 points on the game. Mentioned Sierra Johnson had 18, but yeah, whenever you're missing Aaliyah Wilson, I think that was a big-time blow. I know Coach Gary Blair wishes he could have her back, but that all being said, like we mentioned, I think it was going to be kind of how Kennedy went this year. That was how the team was going to go anyways. I mean, you say Wilson is a big-time player and or a big part of the team, and I think she is, but you know, still, I think most of it will depend on Kennedy Carter and how well she performs down the stretch.
Definitely. So softball kicked off a little bit.
Kicked off their practice
a couple days ago. We can take just a quick moment, because I know I would be happy to call us the softball podcast of record.
Yeah, I think so.
In the area.
I mean, tell me another podcast that's been having the players on.
Right. So, it's going to follow the trend, and this is kind of what sparked it into my head of men's and women's basketball. It's going to be an interesting season for the old softball team this year.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be taking on that underdog role. I actually think they're a lot more comfortable that way than they are maybe being the favorites.
Sure. The biggest with between graduations, a couple players quitting, and transfers, Riley Sarton's the only regular starter returning to the team this year.
Well, Kelby Fortenberry.
Regular starter, because she didn't really step into that starting role until pretty close to the postseason last year.
Pretty late. Yeah, she had a really fantastic year last year. Played in 47 games at 331. Watching her in the fall, I wouldn't be surprised if she had a little bit of power as well. But yeah, as you mentioned, Riley Sarton coming back, and especially there in the infield. She's the only one of the starting infielders that's coming back.
Right, and I wouldn't be surprised from just kind of chit-chatting around and what. I wouldn't be surprised if she moves to shortstop. And you have the new transfer, Kelly Martinez, in at third base. And then Fortenberry in center. And then beyond that, it's freshmen and sophomores everywhere else. Just about a couple of transfers in. Kendall Potts. Kendall Potts will probably be on the flat bump. And was it Wells, the other transfer?
Ashlyn Wells is a middle infielder.
Probably see her maybe at second base, I would think.
Yeah, her and Maddie Yatslau both had some time there at second base over the fall. Wells actually played played a lot of shortstop while Sarton was playing over at third base. So it'd be interesting to see how that shakes out. Elsewhere in the infield, too, I would keep an eye out for Bailey Klingler.
Yeah.
She's a true freshman, but she's a true freshman that can hit. And, you know, defensively, that's going to be something that's probably going to take some time I'm not saying she's a bad defensive player. It's just you got to get adjusted to it. It's different from high school to college. But offensively, she's pretty good.
But so. She's played at the international level, junior international level, and looking like she'll be the person to fill Tori Vidalis' shoes over at first base.
Yeah, I think that's probably how that's going to shake out. And then in the outfield, Blake Ann French, another player with speed that's shown a lot of promise in the outfield.
Has a little bit of experience.
Yeah, she does. And really, to tell you the truth, and I think she's going to see more time in the outfield than the infield, but Gabby Moreno is somebody who really looked good in the fall, especially at the plate. So be interested to see how Gabby shakes out, where coach ends up putting her in the defensive spot, because I know she'll want to get her bat in there.
Well, we've already got them asking about when we're going to be out there, so we will definitely get into that softball coverage here in the weeks ahead. This is when things get fired up and going faster than
spicy.
I'll get out.
Because baseball's 30 days away as well.
You got basketball and softball and baseball getting going and fired up here. So.
Oh, man, did you see all the people? Because they were upset because Aggie baseball was not in the preseason top 25.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that was Baseball America.
No, D1.
D1, okay. D1 was, I don't subscribe to either, but, you know, relax, okay? It's baseball. It's a long season.
Yeah.
It's a long season.
It's a real long season.
I think people talk about preseason polls for football being, you know, ridiculous. Preseason polls for baseball, I don't think you got to take those with a big, big grain of salt.
Right.
Because, and especially when the players aren't going to play anybody until later on. Now they're going to be playing in a pretty good tournament down in Houston, that Minute Maid Shriner Classic again. But, so we'll find out kind of where the team stands against the real, real good competition early on. But that being said, relax, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just relax.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's about all the time we have this week for the My Aggie Nation podcast. Thank you to the 12th man, Cullen Gillespie, for joining us again today. And we'll be back next week to talk a little more basketball and who knows what else. So for Zach Taylor, I'm Travis Brown. This is the My Aggie Nation podcast. We'll see you next week.
It seems like every day, everything just has a way it must have seems. But if we don't watch what we're doing, our hearts will get ruined by silly things. Good love ain't easy, girl, we know that's true. And if we want to keep it, we gotta watch everything that we do, yeah, yeah. Don't wanna make sure my baby, make sure you're sticking with me.